guys, this is Danny Herbeck with the Muskie 360 Canada Edition. Once again, I've tracked down Joe. It's been kind of a grueling few days for us here, and got back on Eagle today, finally, and I'm still tired. That the Nestor Falls Muskie Cup has came and gone, kicked my butt. I don't know about yours, how you feel after it, but this year was a little bit different year for me at a good old Lake of the Woods.
Yeah, we kind of swapped from last year. Last year you had all kinds of action and caught a bunch of fish. Although Stevie and I didn't catch a bunch of fish this year, but we had plenty of action. We had all the chances, man, but it just, you know, it wasn't meant to be, I guess. So still had a blast as always. It's always a good time seeing everybody. There was more teams there this year than normal, and overall there was a lot of nice fish caught. So that was cool.
I think this year here there was more 50 inch plus fish caught in one year than probably in all the years combined, I would have to say. Some of the teams really got onto some big fish. I mean, we caught one pretty nice one for normal standards. I mean, we caught a 48 incher one day, but yeah, overall it was real grindy for us. You know, very few sightings, very few opportunities we had to capitalize on. But yeah, it was overall Lake of the Woods kind of kicked my ass this year, which I'm really upset and really mad about it, because I do look forward to getting off Eagle and kind of, you know, fishing some different water and, you know, just a little bit of change of pace. You fish a little bit different there than how I fish on Eagle. And, yeah, the water was kind of, you know, everybody was struggling to find clean water, and the water kind of changed the couple days of the tournament there. And unless you were kind of moving around to find it, kind of left people, I feel like, stranded a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. The green water was probably a thing this year. I mean, and then for anybody that was, you know, fishing ahead of the tournament, it basically didn't mean anything because we had a weather change right before the tournament started. And so there was, you know, different wind direction and cooling temperatures. And that always makes the algae do things differently, I guess, than what they were doing. So, I was saying it last time we talked, there's just a lot of green water out there, but I think for a lot of guys, they ended up finding that things cleared up a little bit for them. And, I don't know if that allowed them to see some fish through it or not. I know the area we ended up fishing in was, very nice, clear water overall. Man, we saw tons of fish on Friday, 25 plus fish to the boat, not counting the ones we saw deep on the graph. We had, I think we had one good bite on Friday, and it came off pretty quickly. Tons of fish that were so close. Like, I just could not believe they didn't eat. It was crazy. I had one that was in the eight for like 20 minutes. I think we drifted like 3/4 of a mile, figure eighting this fish. Like, it was crazy. It was like speeding up on it the entire time. I kind of think that it had to have been hooked, just briefly. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, where you hook a fish, it comes off and it'll still follow hot, but it just will not open its mouth. Have you ever seen that?
Oh yeah. They learned their lesson.
I know, but they still want it. They still can't resist it, but they just will not.
That's the mojo that you just give off working those cranks. They just can't say no.
Well, so yeah, so it was definitely the most down, devastated I've ever been after a day at the Muskie Cup, because it was really just the pattern that I feel like Stevie and I do really well fishing usually. And we saw more fish than we have any other day during the Derby, and just It was like 4 o'clock, and all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, wait, have we not caught one? Like, today's been too crazy for us to not have caught one. And yeah, no, we didn't catch one. So, and then day two, I
So
knew
you
that
were.
Saturday wasn't going to be as good as Friday. I mean, that's just like, it seemed like every fish in the lake was doing stuff, or every fish in the area we were in was doing stuff on Friday. And so when we went back Saturday, I just knew it wasn't going to be. They weren't going to be as horny. And about 5 minutes into the first spot, Stevie hooked up with a good one and it came right off. Came to the surface and jumped and came off. And that was like how we started our day two with heartbreak and lost another one. Stevie had a tough go on Saturday. He lost three fish on Saturday, and then he tried losing my fish too. I got a 48 or 47 and a half, and he tried losing that one too in the net. Sorry, Stevie.
Oh man.
But yeah, it was a tough one for us, man. It was it wasn't tough. Fishing was like outstanding, I'd say, and we just didn't get the right bites, or it just wasn't, like I said, it wasn't meant to be. Because then on the way home, and people think I'm just saying this because I'm trying to like validate myself or something, but on the way home I caught three fish, four fish, three fish. Anyways, the last one was a 50 right at sundown, and it was came about 5 minutes after about a 43 incher. Bang bang, right at sundown, that 50 was just a baddie. Nice fish, fought
I
super
know.
hard.
You sent me, Joe sent me GoPro videos to prove that he can actually still catch muskies. Sunday night, he's like, I'm driving home from Nestor Falls. We'll record when I get home. I'm like, okay, sounds good, Joe. He sends me GoPro videos of him catching three muskies on his way home to validate himself that he can still catch muskies in spots that he fished during the Muskie Cup.
Man, it wasn't even about that. Like, it's just crazy how, like I say, it just wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to be during the cup. Like, and then I come back
I
on those
know.
fish and they just donk it. But whatever. I mean, it's fine. Like, I'm not too butthurt about it. I'll be okay. I wish we would have done better, but you know what? Like, it is what it is, man. It's muskie fishing. It's muskie cup, and Jesse and Doug caught a bunch of really nice fish for what is their total? 184 and a half inches or something.
Yeah, they knocked it out of the park. Well, they caught like a 50 and a 47 and a half the first day, which was the overall ever biggest bag weighed in or measured in one day. And then what was it, ride out? They caught a 52 and a 47 day two, which was the then they like Doug and Jesse had the record and it literally lasted for one day. So there was, and then there was another 50 caught on Sunday. There was
Johnny
some
O'Connor.
overall, yeah, some really big fish caught on Saturday there, and it was really weird, you know, like we generally don't run all that far, and we fish, you know, we have a pretty shallow pattern kind of put together, and the teams, you know, you could tell what teams kind of are on the same program that we normally fish because they struggled too, and the guys that weren't afraid to run did very well this year, and it kind of flip-flopped the way what had normally been, you know, over the last few years. I don't know if it was just a little bit warmer water temps, so those fish didn't, you know, a lot of the fish didn't pull up real shallow like they normally typically do. You know, and a thing, and another thing too, like down in that Nestor Sabascong area that we fish. I noticed the weeds were like, there was more weeds this year than I've ever seen in my life. There was places that we used to fish that there never had weeds and there was weeds in them this year and beautiful weeds. So I don't know if that was maybe spreading the fish out a little bit more, down in that, you know, southern part of the lake. We saw fish in weeds, we saw fish in rocks, we saw fish in timber. Kind of, they were just really, really spread out. There was no like specific pattern that I could like dial into and say, okay, you can run anywhere, in clean water and say, a fish is going to be using this, a fish is going to be using this, a fish. It wasn't, that was not the case. There was a little bit of mod podge of this, that. We saw, I mean, we saw fish literally on every bait that we picked up. Now, mind you, we didn't see a pile of fish, but I saw fish on crankbaits. I saw fish on topwater, saw fish on bucktails, saw fish on tubes. Like there was no dialed in pattern I had. I was just always trying to pick and claw my way out of every situation, it seemed like. I mean, literally my boat was looked like a bombshell went off the amount of baits I had laying around at the end of each day. I've never felt so like not dialed in my life as I did this weekend.
It's funny. I mean, it's not funny, but like sometimes when you zig when you should have zagged, it's just like you just can't get your steps right. You know what I mean? Like you're
Oh,
constantly like bouncing off the wrong side, and it's like you can never quite catch the break that you need to get you going in the right direction. Like, you know what I mean? That's kind of what happened to Stevie and I last year, and this
the
year.
muskie tournament game is so much different than, walleye and bass. I mean, with the way that format is, if you don't catch two fish, you're pretty well hooped on day one. And I mean, our opportunities were just so few and far between. We fished all morning day one and didn't really see much of anything. And we caught one at like the start of the major at like 11:30. And then literally the next spot, my partner had one eat a bucktail out on the cast, like a really nice one, like a 46, 47-incher. Bought it all the way to the boat, fish dove under the boat, and he went to back off on his drag and backed it off too much, and the rod just instantly went limp, and the fish was gone like instantly. And after that was like the only opportunity we had day one of even remotely close to catching another fish. So, but I mean, you look back, we would have caught that mid-40s fish. We wouldn't have won the tournament, but we'd have been, top 4 or 5 with that fish in the net. It's just, that's how quick things can change in those muskie tournaments. One bite is hero or zero. And especially when you're not getting a lot of opportunities.
Well, yeah, and it's, like you never know what could happen. There's something crazy could happen to where on day two you end up knocking it out, and all the people who got two on the first day. I mean, I know it's a slim tip for that to happen, but you never know. And it is cool that they do payouts both days, so that you at least, I know it's not, I know nobody's in it for the money. I mean, it's all about the cup, but I think I just counted here, and I may be wrong, but I think there was 76 fish caught in the 2 days.
That's about, I mean, that's usually what it's about. I mean, I would say it's usually around 80 fish caught in 2 days, which is pretty impressive because, there was a lot of new names to the tournament this year that did very well. Like guys that, this was their first time fishing it, but they actually did very well. So, it's definitely getting more and more competitive, and a guy who's got to be step up his game more and more every year, that's for sure.
Well, as more people enter it, and then the teams who have been in it for a while, they just keep piling on more and more. That's what I've always said, is like, you just got to look at it in the long term. Like, yeah, maybe you didn't do well 1 year, but you still learned some stuff that will help you in the future, and like those conditions may not be the same deal next year, but those conditions will come back, So I wish I would have kept a better journal or something of the Muskie Cup like conditions each year. I think most years the water temperature is maybe just starting to dip below 60, or it's right about 60. So we were a little warm this year. I think it was like 64-ish for the most part.
Yeah, I would say usually average. I have already been running suckers on Eagle for a week because I usually start running suckers when the water hits 60. And usually by then, by the time the cup is, I've already been running live bait on Eagle, and I haven't even, live bait's not even an option for me yet. So yeah, we're definitely water temp wise quite a bit ahead of schedule. And I don't know if those, if maybe the fish were just more, like I said, I fish it 3 days a year, and I don't know if those fish were more in more of a summer pattern or what, but definitely wasn't normal of kind of the last few years. We've been around a lot of fish and had a lot of opportunities. It's been very exciting and very fun fishing, but this year it was our opportunities were pretty far and few between, and we did a lot of banging our head against the wall. And I found a lot of the fish, I don't, maybe it was just the more shallow pattern I was on when we did encounter fish, they were just so negative. In 3 days, one day of pre-fish and 2 days of tournament, we caught three fish, but other than that, we only had one other fish actively in the figure eight. Everything else was like, oh, there it is, oh, there it's gone. And a lot of the fish were just really, really not into it. And I don't know, like I said, if that was just the area of the lake I was in. Obviously, that's the case because other teams were catching. Some teams caught, I think one team caught like four or five one day or something like that. So, kind of just depended on where you were at on the lake, I guess.
Yeah, I think that the fish push into the weeds when you get that first couple cool downs of the fall. And I think actually this year, that first time that they pushed into the weeds was actually in the middle of August. And that kind of pushed
Algae,
them up
yep.
into the weeds, which normally that would kind of be happening here. But I think the fish were past that point to where we got a little cool down that happened, and instead of going into the weeds, they pulled out more into fall mode, rocks type stuff. And it's definitely I think something that happens. It's just hard to determine which time they're going to go into which time they're not going to be going into the weeds, because it seems like definitely the first couple cool downs of the fall or late summer, they pull into shallow sand and weeds or cabbage, and then you get to a certain point where you get a cool down, and instead of pulling into the weeds, they slide onto the rocks, or they slide out deeper and go into more of a fall mode than a late summer mode. So I kind of think that was one of the big differences for this year, was we already had those first couple temperature drops, and the fish didn't slide into the weeds this time. So I don't know. There's definitely kind of like even just a bolder like shelf pattern that works well too, or that works well for me at least with crankbaits. I guess I didn't run that pattern too much this year. We were mostly fishing like extensions coming offshore, or even just points with access to deep water nearby. It doesn't have to be super deep, but kind of looking at the map as a whole, you're kind of looking at a deeper portion of the basin that is, in that immediate area there, where you can kind of see, like, if you look at the lake as if it's multiple lakes put together, you can kind of see where one basin area is. And so you break that down, and then you kind of look for the deepest hole in that basin area. And if it's all relative to the section of the lake that it's in. There's some sections where 25 feet might be the deepest hole. There's some sections where it might be 40 or 60, and you're just kind of looking for that. It's so nice on the Lake Master chip with the depth shading, where you can see that darker blue, or however you have your depth palette set up, to where the color changes as it gets deeper, and it makes it so much easier to just see those holes. And the other thing that really makes it easy to find those deeper portions is the good old paper map, the old Canadian hydrographic chart. Like, so many guys now have never even owned a paper map. Yeah, they look at it on the wall in the bar or something here and there, but like, to actually really sit down and dissect portions of the lake, and kind of help you pattern the fish. The paper map is so helpful. Like, it's just, there's nothing else that really shows you the big picture and helps you put the pieces of the puzzle together, as well as one of those good old Canadian hydrographic charts that you can't get anymore, of course.
Yeah, I know. I remember why, like, even those hotspot map, they don't necessarily show the real depth, but you can get a good idea of looking at a lake and kind of how, like, different winds will push stuff around, in a big general picture, like what you said. And it kind of, you can make you, once you start kind of dialing in on things and you start really diving deeper and wondering why those fish are there and what's causing those fish to there, and trying to really put the pieces of the puzzle together, looking at a big map like that, just over the whole spectrum of it, you can start to kind of really understand, okay, well, this wind, say a south wind is pushing through all these narrow areas, this basin is pushing through all those little narrows, and that's why the fish use them. And then you have, say an east wind. Well, these set of narrows are going to be better. Well, versus on a south wind, these set of narrows are going to be, there's going to be no current pushing through them, like wind-driven current, right? So looking at that, it kind of makes you understand why fish hang out more religiously on spots under certain wind conditions, right? And that's one thing that, like, I pay attention to all the time is, like, certain winds are always, yeah, spots are, most of them are good all the time, but under certain wind conditions, certain spots are always like, okay, we've had a south wind for 4 days. I know I can hit this spot, this spot, this spot, and this spot, and it's going to be my highest percentage chance. So what do? I don't fish those spots right away in the morning. I know those are going to always hold fish under those wind conditions. I save those spots until the start of a major, and then I go boom, 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 boom. And that's your highest percentage chance because, well, the fish are the most active then, and those fish are going to be on those spots versus running to them right away in the morning when, yeah, you might get lucky and catch a fish on them. But keep that in mind when you're planning your routes through the day to try and save your juice for the start of a major, or if you don't have a major, start of a minor, or anything, a weather front pushing in, anything that can give you the upper hand on these fish, save those really juicy spots for that. And that is, one little pointer I can say that I always, I'm not just running around the lake fishing. I do try and, even though it might look like I'm running around with a chicken, like with my head cut off most times, but I do have somewhat of a plan of where I'm going to be, when I'm going to be there, depending on what section of lake I'm fishing.
And it helps with that algae and everything too. But
Oh, yeah, that green water drove me nuts.
oh man, did it gum up your reels or what? Like my
No, it didn't. It wasn't. It was just like mixed in, and I mean, the visibility was like literally. We fished in some stuff that the only way you were gonna see a fish is if its tail was out of the water chasing the top water, and that's just never good. We never see anything in that stuff. We wasted too much time in that stuff, and yeah, it was frustrating. But to kind of fast forward past the Muskie Cup and lick my wounds and, hopefully get back on track for next year. I was out on Eagle today, back in full force, and the Muskies, we had surprisingly non-musky conditions, flat, calm. I mean, I don't know about you down there, but believe it or not, I took my shirt off today and I was
it was
tarped
hot.
off for probably 2 hours in the boat. It got downright miserably hot. And the fish moved. It was really weird. The fish moved really, really good this morning. We caught two right away, lost two. Probably saw about a dozen fish by about, I don't know, 10:30, 11 o'clock. And then, the major was supposed to start to kick in, and the activity kind of slowly diminished as the day went on, just fewer and fewer fish sightings. The fish that we did see were not nearly as engaged. But yeah, day after coming off Lake of the Woods and getting back on Eagle, I would say, the fish are kind of, they did kind of like what you said they would do with this, the worm that stabilized, and they kind of slid back up on the rocks. Most of the fish were, some of the fish were coming right off the tops of stuff. A lot of the fish were, I would say, were in that, that first break area, that 8 to 12 foot zone, which was kind of, to be honest, shocking. I was expecting them to come off, a little bit deeper than what they were. But I mean, we saw fish on, a little bit of everything, but I would say today probably rubber ruled the most. But we saw fish on cranks, bucktails, a little bit of everything. Saw some big fish, which was nice that we're whipping around pretty good at the boat. But of course, those ones don't bite. The little ones do. So yeah, one cool thing though, I got to share the boat with Christian Laettner. The ex-NBA Timberwolves All-Star, which was pretty cool. He's a pretty cool musky stick. Got to bullshit with him a bunch. And yeah, that was a pretty fun time. So,
That's cool. What's he pre-fishing for Pete and those guys or what?
no, he's just, he's over the few years, I've known Christian for quite a few years. He actually spends quite a bit of time up on Lake of the Woods, too. He's kind of became a real musky nut, and this summer he's actually spent just traveling all over in this area since July. He doesn't plan on leaving till November. He's just kind of bouncing around musky waters, kind of just getting a feel for, all the muskies everywhere he can get. He spends quite a bit of time on Lake of the Woods. He was up on Long-Legged and Stork, and he was on Eagle here for a few days, and yeah, he's gonna be bouncing around and just living the dream, living the ex-NBA pro dream.
You know, he called me to fish in like, gosh, this probably was like 2012 or 2013, and it was like first week of November, and at that time I was actually guiding out of a boat that somebody else owned, and they were using it for duck hunting. But he was down on the South Shore here out of Ballard's Resort. And I think that was kind of when he was just maybe just getting into like getting more serious about musky fishing. And I couldn't, I didn't have a boat to take him out. I wanted to, but it was kind of crazy because of like it was so late, It was like so late for this end of
Oh.
the lake. Maybe they were still going in Kenora or something, but down here it was like I think the landing was all but completely froze over. It was pretty crazy. I was like, yeah, man,
Yeah,
it's my
he's pretty passionate about the muskie game. He's really into it, and yeah, it was a fun day just BSing with him, talking about his career and all this and that, and yeah, it was a fun time. So, but yeah, to kind of, for what I see, kind of predict. I mean, our water spiked up again today. This morning when I went out, it was like 64, and by the end of the day, surface temp, I think I had like 67 again. So it's kind of really lingering in that mid 60 degree stuff right now. And I didn't fish any weeds today. I just went and kind of poked around, all the rock stuff, because I knew we didn't have much wind, so I could get out in the middle of the lake and not have to get bounced around. So I wanted to kind of see what was going on out there. And there was muskies to be had. They were pretty well on every spot. Some spots they were grouped up really well. Like a couple spots had four or five fish on them. So yeah, I would say it's kind of it almost fished today like August. Like there was no really fall pattern, kind of like what we had after that first cold down and those fish dropped really deep. I would say a lot of them have came back up shallow and are resuming normal musky things here. And I don't know what's gonna happen with, you know, when the we fi it finally does ever get cold and the lake does decide to turn, if those fish will drop deep, or I mean, we're getting far enough along here in the season where, you know, might they just might slide off that first initial break and just you know, still be really accessible for casting and, you know, and stuff like that. We'll have to see once turnover starts here, but we're a ways away from that right now, I want to say.
Man, the 10-day forecast is insane. It's like highs in the 70s each day, and like it's the 10-day forecast is wild. I can't believe it. I'm looking until October 1st, and it's like the low temperatures are all high 50s. It's just like no rain, all sun. I mean, the water temp's gonna go back up to 70 here. It's crazy.
This is it's wild, which I mean, I know everybody wants it to get cold and wants to, you know, fish fall, but I mean, living up here full time, it's eventually gonna get cold, it's eventually gonna snow. I'll deal with fighting warm weather. We're still gonna catch fish, you're still gonna have opportunities. It might just not be the way that you have pictured in your mind for fishing in October, but you know, the one good thing is between, you know, like you and me and all these other guides all around, we're on the water every day. We have a pretty good understanding of what's going on. We can keep tabs on these fish and, you know, we'll kind of have a feel for what's going on anyway. Yeah, you're going to have better days than others, obviously, but, yeah, might be casting bucktails into the middle of October. Who knows?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Pretty wild. The one thing I don't like in the fall when you have this warm thing, it's not necessarily the warm weather, it's when everything cools down super fast. That's one thing I don't like is like it
It shocks the whole system.
It really sends everything for a loop and just you know, I like a nice gradual cool down. It's nice what like when the temperatures do start dropping, it's nice if they just continue to drop all the way down into the freeze up. Like when you get that little late season warm up thing that kind of like throws things into limbo a lot of times. I like 2019, I feel like was the perfect fall. Like that fall, we had a little bit of a warm time, but it was only a few days and it was just a nice gradual cool down all the way till the ice. And that fall was like everything set up so nicely that fall. So
Hey, you know what happened in, you know what happened in 2019?
oh yeah, you won the cup
I beat you by an inch to win the cup.
by 1 inch, dude. 1 inch. Do you remember how bad those storms were that weekend?
I remember like literally dodging lightning bolts and having to like go to shore because I thought we were gonna die.
I think we got 8 inches of rain in those 2 days during the cup, and then it continued to rain until like the middle of October. That was on Lake of the Woods. That was one of the highest or the highest water level during freeze up on record, which was, you know, like it was crazy. And that's what made fishing so good over here for me was the amount of current. You know, normally you get a strong north wind, all of a sudden it stalls out that current, sends it pushing the other way. And that year, it didn't matter how strong a north wind we had, the current was still pushing north, you know, maybe a little bit slower, but it never turned around. And so those fish just set up. And there really is current is a factor in just about everywhere you're at, from the northwest angle north. I mean, some places it's very subtle, but it is a factor, especially when it's like that and the whole system is draining out. But,
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll have to see. You know, I haven't looked at the long range yet, but I mean, if it's your weather's going to be very similar to ours up here, I mean, the main thing that that you don't want to happen. I mean, I remember, I mean, I'm sure I could go back at pictures and, you know, shoveling snow out of my boat on the 5th of October, 6th of October. You know, I just hope it doesn't go from 70 degrees to all of a sudden it just flips the switch and turns, you know, to winter. That's gonna, you know, obviously shut the fish down for a little bit and make it a little bit tougher. If we can kind of, you know, Honestly, if it would just slowly kind of gradually taper off, after this warm spell, that would be best case scenario. Because, I mean, like last year, I think my last day on the water, you always fish quite a bit later than I do, but the last day I fished on the water was like November 17th, which was like insanely late for me. Normally I'm done by like the end of October. I've had, enough, but I was able to kind of keep my boat last year up here. And, there's days obviously I wouldn't have wanted to be out there in November, but overall, I mean, it might create some really unique opportunities come November for fishing if, it doesn't get real wild and crazy in October here.
I'd like to see freeze up on about November 15th. That's in my opinion like the perfect time for things to freeze, as long as it, starts cooling off pretty quick here.
No.
All
But,
right, well,
all right.
we'll check in
Yeah,
again
I'm ready for
about a
bed,
week
though.
here or something, and hey, it was a good cup. It was a good time. Thank you, Byron Walker, and everybody that helped put that on. And that obviously I'm waiting 51 weeks for the next one here. Like I can't wait. So
Yeah. No, but
no matter how we turn out, I'm always excited for the next one.
this kind of just popped in my head. I totally forgot about it. I don't actually know if I talked to Steven. I don't know when it was. I can't remember. But he said to kind of keep this rolling through the winter, we might do more of like how we did it like every, I don't know if we did like once every couple months or something like that. I can't remember how we did it last winter. But do more of like a more frequent like round table talk. Get you, myself, Steven, maybe another guy involved in it for the Canadian side of things, and get it a little bit more involved. That way we're not always trying to find topics and things to talk about anyway. So it might be able to keep this a little bit more interesting for the people that do listen in anyway. So.
Cool. That sounds awesome. Yeah. I'd be down.
All right, Joseph. Well, you have a good evening. I'm gonna go get some sleep and hopefully catch a great big muskie tomorrow.
We'll catch you on the flip side, man.
All right, later.
Thanks. Bye.